As we've been talking about, this is the beginning of a new year, first Sunday of the new year, and I like this statement. It says, strength shows not only in the ability to persist. If we could end there, that's a good statement, but the ability to start over. Sometimes starting over is easier said than done. No matter what our past has been, no matter what's going on in our lives now, sometimes even when life isn't the greatest, but we know what it is, and so that's our quote-unquote comfort zone, or at least we are handling that, so sometimes even new beginnings or something that is unanticipated or we can't quite see out there, so that can bring fear perhaps or intrepidation, those kind of things. The scripture that Emil read from the Gospel of Mark, it's interesting how this gospel writer, Mark, begins not with the birth narrative as Luke does. This writer doesn't begin with the genealogy of Jesus, which Matthew does. This writer doesn't start as John, the gospel writer John, starts with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and giving us a better understanding that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. But Mark starts with John the Baptist proclaiming, a voice in the wilderness, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he baptized those coming out of Jerusalem, and where he was baptizing there in the Jordan River, just north of the Sea of, or the Dead Sea rather. It's the same place that the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan River from the east as they were looking where Moses passed away and Joshua takes the reign. It's that same place that they crossed the Jordan and new beginnings for the nation of Israel in the time of Joshua. But a new beginning. Old Testament, new beginning here. Almost New Testament. Because we think about John the Baptist being New Testament, but quite honestly, he wasn't. He was an Old Testament prophet. And this is where the transition happens. I always ask the question, when did the Old Testament transition into the New Testament? Was it at the death of Jesus, at the crucifixion? Was it in the Lord's Supper that night before? Was it in the garden? Or do we step back and was it here at the beginning of the 3 years of ministry? And there, you could give examples or discuss or debate all of those options, but I would like to suggest that I lean toward it started here. Because John is baptizing a message of confession and repentance. A new beginning. Surrendering. But we believe, as we believe now, as we believe then, that baptism doesn't mean salvation. It's making a proclamation of faith. I'm trusting in my heritage. I'm trusting in God that I'm connecting to something larger than I can understand or comprehend. And so if you're baptized as a child, your parents are taking on that responsibility to raise you up in a Christian home and as best they can try to introduce you to the gospel and live it out. But at some point in your life, you have to make that decision for yourself if you're baptized as a child or as a youth. And that's where we get into the connection of the difference between baptism of confession, as John was baptizing, and we move into the New Testament. In the book of Acts, it says, this is chapter 19, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Recognizing this is after Pentecost and everything. So Paul asks, then what baptism did you receive? Well, John the Baptist baptism, they replied. And Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And on hearing this, these disciples were baptized into the same name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And there were about 12 of them in all. See, this New Testament setting, Paul has started his ministry, so we know it's 2 or 3 years down the road, and Apollos was one of those that, he wasn't one of those original disciples, but he was one that was taking the reins and going out, and in his early understanding of the gospel, he was talking about, you need to be baptized and repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But Paul's saying, there's more than just repentance of your sins. You have to believe. You have to believe in the one that, as Jesus was baptized by John, as people were coming for repentance and baptism in that realm, you have to believe that Jesus came and he fulfilled that baptism, and believing in him, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, within us, renews us, revives us. And so there's a difference between baptism of repentance and confession and a New Testament understanding of being baptized in the Spirit, capital S. And so a new beginning, New Testament coming upon us. The Holy Spirit is demonstrated various places in the New Testament, but more specifically at Pentecost, where a group of people in a room about half the size, about 120 of people, were waiting. They'd seen Jesus ascend into heaven, and he says, sit tight and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And so they did. They prayed and they fasted and they waited for God to do something, and they didn't know completely what was going to happen. But they knew that they'd experienced the things of Jesus and knew that it would be extraordinary, to say the least. And during Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, as it talks about, as it's described in Scripture, is as if tongues of fire were over their heads. And it says that they understood things more clearly that they'd been exposed to in those 3 years of ministry. The things that Jesus had said, it was kind of that aha moment. And God using his Holy Spirit to enable, to revive, to refresh, to give them discernment. It wasn't just something that happened 2,000 years at Pentecost. When we are baptized into the Spirit, with the Spirit, we're saying, Father, I trust in you. I believe in you. Make me whole. It doesn't make us perfect. In the New Testament understanding, we're saying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit to be able to do the things you need me to do. Help me to see with better wisdom, better clarity. Help me to understand grace and mercy and love better, that I might express it to those around me, live it out in wherever I share my time with others and encounter other people. You see, that's what new beginnings are all about. How many of you like there's a couple TV shows that Carol and I, we record, and usually we'll watch them after the fact, but it's Who Do You Think You Are is one of them, and the other one is Finding Your Roots. Anybody watch those? It's about our heritage, our DNA, so to speak, our family's heritage. I like to think that that's kind of what baptism's all about. So many people have trusted in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, and they've expressed that to others and expressed that to others in the concentric circles of influence upon this world, that someone, probably more than one, have shared that, lived that out with you. Perhaps a parent or a grandparent or a Sunday school teacher or vacation Bible school or different, whoever those are. Those are people that the Holy Spirit had prompted. And not by coincidence you happen to be in that room. God was using them to speak to your heart, to give you a new beginning. And so that's part of this morning, is be reminding us of our roots, reminding us who we're connected to, reminding who we are, but more importantly, whose we are. We've surrendered ourselves to the things of God. And so what a blessing. We don't just go through the motions and show up on a Sunday and hope refreshed, but there's more to that, more than that, rather. We're connected together. The same Holy Spirit, that's we're connected together as family, Christian family, to do the extraordinary, ordinary people doing the extraordinary through the power of His Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're connected to, something larger than we fully understand. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we begin this new year once again, we thank You that You have a calling upon us as individuals, as we surrender ourselves to You. We've proclaimed that we trust You with our whole heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. But through the midst of everyday life, we can get distracted, to say the least. We can just get busy. And not bad things necessarily, just life happens. And we can turn our focus away or just don't have the time. And so, Lord, we pray that the beginning of this new year, we might reflect. We might take a deep breath and listen for Your voice. Help us to hear the things that we need to hear. Help us to change those things that we need to change. Help us to respond to Your voice from a New Testament perspective, that Your Holy Spirit is working on us, in us, and through us in a mighty way. For we pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus.